good to go.
Yeah.
Excellent. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, with season two, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem on Doctor Online Academy with the amazing Dr. Simone Alicia. There's a wealth of resources there that can help with your child's self-esteem and confidence and so much more. So I'll leave the link in the description for you to have a look at that. I highly recommend it. There's a lot of good stuff down there. So today I have a special guest. I'm always excited when I have guests on because we always talk before we start recording and say, I could talk about this all day, but we have to kind of restrict it. But I have the lovely Dr. Reshma Walji with me. We're going to talk about this wonderful thing, the concept that she has about journaling. And I'll let her talk about it because I'm gonna be clumsy explaining it. But thank you so much, Rishma, for coming on. I'm so excited to have you on. And if you could just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself as we get started.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much for having me. My background is in naturopathic medicine. I spent 20 years in clinical practice. I have a PhD, all the science stuff, but I'm a mom and I'm a human being and I make mistakes. And that's why I'm here to be honest about how life happens, especially when you're a parent, but even as a partner, as a daughter, all the different roles that we play in life. And so I sort of merge my science background with my real life, hot mess background, and try to help people sort of figure out themselves the way that I'm trying to figure myself out as well.
Oh, that's amazing. I love how you said that because yes, it's funny how when we're in work mode, we're just solid, but once we get home, it's just, yes, I don't, it's not quite the same, but I love it. We kind of met, and I love how we met actually. It was just kind of organic, but you're talking about this this thing that the journal that you've come up with, this style of journaling, I should say. I'm looking for my words today. So can you kind of share the idea? Because I just loved it as a parent to have that tool. If you could share kind of the idea behind that journaling style,
Yeah,
and then
for sure.
we'll go through the science afterwards, but just the
Yeah.
general idea, yeah.
Maybe first I'll tell you how it actually started, because as we talked about, we can get into later, but I'm not a journaler. It's not something that I do naturally. What happened was, have you ever walked through your house and there's like a bunch of Legos all over and you accidentally step on it and then you want to just scream and swear? And then I don't know if it happens to you, but you get this idea in your mind where you're like, I just want to throw out every single toy in my house and just, clean up everything. Something like that similar happened to me, except that it wasn't Legos. It was shoes that were sort of thrown all over the floor. I tripped and I wasn't hurt or anything, but instead of swearing in pain, I yelled at my kids. I was mad that they had made a mess and it was not my finest moment, but I think it's, just an honest sort of thing that happens. I was really, really stressed. We all, if you've been a parent, this has happened to you many, many times, I'm sure. And as much as it's sort of not something that I like to admit, it was one of those moments that I kind of stopped and realized, like, what is happening? Like, why am I yelling at my kids? I realized that they should clean up, but also, why did I react this way? And then at the end of the night, the kids are asleep and I'm sitting in my bed and I'm like, what is happening? Like, this is not the kind of person I want to show up as. This is not the kind of parent I want to show up as. And so when I have a problem because of my healthcare and science background, what I do is I read. That's like my happy place. It's how I solve all my problems. I go into the books, into journals, into science, into research, and I read. And sort of through that organically, me wanting to show up as a better mom, me wanting to have more patience with my kids, me wanting to figure out how to see them in a more positive way and how to regulate my own emotions. Sort of this journaling style sort of came to life, even though I wouldn't say that I was a regular journaler before. It just sort of came to life as a way for me to manage my stress, my parenting, and it sort of took a life of its own, partly as a passion project, but also in all of the positive effects it had on me and on my kids.
Oh, that's amazing. I love how you say that because when we do kind of lose control over our reaction, I get the same where I'm kind of a third party looking, going, why am I reacting? Why am I doing this right now? So I like that you shared that, and it's always important because we just realize we're not alone.
Yeah.
Having these, we're human, and we do make mistakes. I love that. Now there is a science behind that. We've talked about it a little bit before we recorded and when we met, but can you explain this, the actual science behind your journaling style?
Yeah, for sure. So when most people think about journaling, they think about writing in a book or something like that. And it's like, you know, you're sort of stream of consciousness writing, thinking about what you're writing, what's on your mind, almost like a diary type of journaling. Sometimes people will do it in a different way, but most of the time journaling is, this is how I feel, this is what I want in life, just sort of getting your thoughts out on paper. So this is very different. It's very prompted. There are prompts that are written, and the prompts come from science. And the science comes from a few different places. One is the science of savoring, which is if you think about eating your favorite dessert, okay, what's your favorite dessert?
Oh my God, I have a lot, but I'll go with cake. Let's go with
Okay,
chocolate cake.
cake.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay, so let's say you're eating your favorite cake and it's sitting there on your plate and you're like, I just want this cake to last as long as possible. And you take a bite. What do you do if you want to really optimize that experience? You eat it slowly, you let it melt in your mouth, you like turn off all your distractions, and you just really focus on the cake and you think about like the icing in your on your tongue, right? This is called savoring. And we do this in many ways. Like even if for me, if I go for a massage, I'm like, oh, I just want to relax and, you know, make sure my muscles are relaxed and really enjoy this experience. So apparently you can also savor relationships. So this is what I found out when I was working through the research, is that you can savor your relationships. And if you are a parent or even just, you know, in a partnership, we tend to take for granted all of the good things. And instead we're like, you didn't clean up your room. You did, you know, you did this, you would did whatever. Even with our partners, sometimes my husband and I are like roommates. We're like, okay, you get this and I'll do this. And you've kind of forget why you fell in love, right? So the idea around savoring is to really focus on those positive connection moments, specifically the connection moments, to help your relationship, help you bond. And then there's a whole other research around memory formation. And I do a lot of like brain science in my work. So how do we remember things? We, again, as human beings, we're sort of wired to think about the bad things because we want to stay safe. And then as parents, we're like, don't kill yourself, you know, don't die. Like it's all about safety. So we're thinking about all the bad things that could happen. And so there's a whole science around trying to remember happy moments, trying to really fortify those memories in your mind so that you can improve that connection between you two. So, I mean, there's a lot more science around it, but just those are the main concepts where the prompts in the journal are specific to helping us build those memories and reinforce those memories so we don't forget, because of course we tend to, you think you're never going to forget the first time your kid walked and then you have another kid and it's 10 years later. And I'm like, I don't remember. Was that you? Was it your sister? So fortifying memories that are really important to you, but also really savoring those relationships. And it really does something to your brain where it allows you to have more empathy, more patience, more calm. And the thing that I did not expect, it also allowed my kids to hear me in a different way. Mm-hmm. Instead of like, clean up this and do that, they would hear more of, I'm proud of you. I like the way you did that. That was really special. You know, the things that I want to say to them all the time, and I hope I'm saying to them all the time, but realistically, we're so busy. I'm not saying it as much as I would like to, you know?
Yeah, because life happens, right? So you just kind of focus on the things that need to be taken care of. But I just, that's what really drew me into this type of journaling, because it's so hard to switch from the negative to the positive. And I love that the fact that writing it down, it holds you accountable for what you're feeling. I think you mentioned that, I'm going to put you on the spot, but when we first talked, you mentioned about how when you're writing it down and saying, my children could read this, so I, you know, I need to kind of rethink how I'm going to put that out on paper. Can you kind of explain the some of the positive changes you've noticed in yourself? Because you mentioned that, you know, you're savoring those moments and you're showing up the way you actually wanted to, but feedback or anything like that you've heard from?
Yeah, for sure. There's so much. I'll just give you an example of what's in here. So then I can give like a specific example. But inside the journal, there are different pages and there's different prompts, right? So there'll be like, you know, something I'm looking forward to with you, which is like fostering that, you know, the building of traditions and memories and things like that. Something that you were determined about. And so actually what started was I was frustrated. I was stressed. And so I would write in this journal and have this prompt, because I'm like, I don't know what to write. I just want to write how I'm frustrated. And I don't want to write that. At first, I didn't think they would read it. At first, I just thought it was for me. And so I would write in the journal thinking, okay, how can I see my kids' positive side? How can I see things from their perspective? Because I'm stressed, but they're also stressed, right? The world is a big place for a young kid who hasn't experienced half of the things that we've experienced as parents, right? And so I wanted to be able to see things from their perspective. And I also wanted to see them for who they are and not who I want them to be. And this is really hard for a parent. I feel like, you know, we worry about our kids. We love our kids. You know, I see one of my daughters was really shy when she was growing, when she was younger. And when I was growing up, I was really shy. And so I kind of like push her a little bit to open up, but that's not me valuing who she is as a person. That's me worried that she's going to get picked on like I was, right? So it's a very, very delicate balance of how we see our kids. And so I wanted to see them for who they are. I wanted to understand who they were. And so what I did was I would take this prompt and I would say, okay, a time when you showed determination, and I would write and answer it. And I think I shared with you in one of our conversations this funny thing that, you know, we don't spend the time journaling. We don't sit down and, you know, every night, like I don't write in it every night. I just, you know, I'm realistic. That's not going to happen. But at first I would do it. I would hide myself in the bathroom when I was upset with my kids, because I would be like, oh my gosh, my kid yelled at me and they did this and I'm frustrated. And I was trying to calm myself down. So I would lock the bathroom door and I would take the journal and I would look through, and like some of the questions I'm like, oh, a time when you made me laugh, I'd be like, you haven't made me laugh. Like, I'm in a mood, right? And I can't answer that question, but I can answer, you know, a time when you were really responsible, or a memory that we have together that was really special to me, or, you know, something like that. And immediately when I start thinking about that, my brain starts to calm down. I start to be the mom again, as opposed to like the stressed out Rishma, right? Like now I'm like, oh, I'm the mom. Wow, my kid actually is very special. My kid is having a hard time right now, just like I'm having a hard time. And you start to change that inner dialogue. And as I started doing this journaling more and more, I started looking for those moments. So in the day, I would be like, oh, she's laughing. It's so wonderful to see her laugh. I would think about that more because I'm like, I should write this down in my journal later, you know? Oh, wow. So it started really changing how I interacted with them and also how I saw them. And then eventually I had the idea of giving the journal to them. And actually on my podcast, I gave it to them as a gift and I recorded their reaction. And I mean, they're old enough to know this is not something you do overnight, right? Like it's a whole book. It takes a long time. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of, not effort in terms of time. Like I can do one sitting in like 2 minutes, right? I can just write a prompt, but over many, many days, then I can fill up the book and I give it to them. And my one daughter said, I don't want to spoil the reaction in case anyone wants to listen on the podcast, but my one daughter said, I'm going to read this every day. And then something just dawned on me and I was like, oh, you know what? The words she hears from me, those are going to be her inner voice.
Yes.
Because that's what we hear, right? Like we hear criticism, we hear praise, and we remember the things that impact us in our childhood as adults. So even today, I remember when I was picked on. I remember all of those things, but I also remember my mom who always tells me she's proud of me. I also remember my dad who says, you can do anything if you put your mind to it. No one can take your education. Like these kinds of things where it was important to him as an immigrant, you know? So I want to be able to give my kids some of those positive pieces that maybe I forget to tell them. Like my daughter, I could just talk about this forever, so just stop me, but I'll give you one more example. My daughter got her braces off a couple of months ago, and I wrote in the journal that, you know, it's not easy to have your braces. It hurts. You know, you can't eat food properly. Your mouth looks weird when you smile. Like, you know, there's all these awkward things that happen when you have your braces, but I was really happy with the way she was resilient about it. She had a good attitude about it. You know, of course she had her moments, but I wanted her to look back on that memory as a positive experience that she did something that was not easy versus like, oh, I had my braces, you know? So I'm trying to facilitate this positivity in them and also in me.
I like that. I just love it. Like I said, we could talk about this forever because I was going to ask you if you could share your children's reaction when you did. And I think it's wonderful that they get to see us in a different light and they get to see themselves through our eyes. And I think that's a beautiful thing to give to our children. So for those who are listening, it is something to think of if you're going to, you know, give those journals back. And I love also the fact that you don't have to follow page by page. You just kind of flip through and go into the section that works for you.
Yeah, I've had a bunch of people say that they also skip ahead. Like, you know, they read the ending of a book, they skip ahead and they see the other prompts so they can think about it for the next time they want to write in, which is really helpful. I've also had a couple people who said they bought the journal when their kids were a bit younger, like I did when I started writing this. I mean, when they're an infant, it's a little harder because you don't quite know their personality, but you know, they're 5, 6, 7, 8, you have a sense of them. And now my kids are teenagers and I'm writing another one for them because it's a whole different experience. My older one's going to be graduating high school in a couple of years. So I'd like to give it to her sort of through her teenage experiences, my view of her. And I'm thinking, oh, I should give one to my parents because if they wrote one for me, that would just be lovely, you know, if I could get something like that from them. So there's all these different stages of life, I think, where it can be really, really valuable. And then because of that, it sort of spurred into like, what about my partner? And so now there's a partner journal and, you know, all of these different, it's the same style of journaling, but different relationships that you're fostering.
Yes, that's what I like. It's transferable to anywhere. You could even work at it with your coworkers and, you know, anything else. That's just, I love it. I could talk, like I said, I could talk about it forever, but we talked quite a bit about how I don't naturally journal. It doesn't come naturally to me. So, and I know there's quite a few, you were the same. There's quite a few people out there. Do you recommend it? And I like the fact that your journal, again, it's not page by page, follow the sequence. You can kind of jump in and out. Do you have any advice on how to get stuff for people who are really interested in this, you know, how to not make it stressful, not putting too much pressure on yourself, but just go naturally with it?
Yeah, for sure. Well, definitely for me, I started when I was upset because that was sort of what the point of the journal was. And maybe not everyone can do that. But for me, I felt like if I could find one prompt that would just help me calm down, I would feel a lot better about writing in it. And like I said, it just takes a couple of minutes to answer one prompt. It's one page. It's not very big, you know, like you can just fill it in. The other suggestion I have is during big moments. So like braces come off, graduation, because you're already feeling sentimental. You're already taking pictures, these kinds of things. Also now my kids are teenagers. So I do it sometimes if I'm waiting for them at a sport event or I'm dropping them off at their friend's house and I have to wait for half an hour, you know, you sort of waste a lot of time when you're driving your kids around. And sometimes I have enough time to get groceries. Sometimes I don't. So I just have it in my purse. And then sometimes I'll just sit in the car and write while I'm waiting for them so that I feel like I've used this time. And then what I find is when they come back in the car, we have a lovely conversation. They don't know that I did this, but I'm thinking about them in a different way. And I don't know, there's a different energy. We just have a really different sort of conversation. So yeah, those are some of the tips that I would recommend is just have a couple of minutes or before bed is another one, if that works for you too.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's not homework. It's just something.
Yes. It's not homework. It's meant to make you feel happy and it's meant to make them feel happy. And the other thing I should share is, of course, if anyone wants to get the journal, you're welcome to it. But if you don't have the journal and you want to journal in this style, maybe I should explain a little bit about how it works.
Yeah, sure.
So people can just get started right away. And if they like it and it's something that they enjoy, you're welcome to just grab the journal from Amazon or wherever. Okay, so essentially the idea is you're trying to pick a moment of connection with your child. So it could be something like a tradition or something, you know, let's say you celebrate a holiday with your family. Let's say you are graduating, like something like this. Even if it's something really small, like I took my kid to daycare and she squeezed my hand for a little extra long today, you know, these moments that are so fleeting, but they mean so much to us. And then we forget about them because we're rushing to work. So any kind of a moment that feels connection, you want to write about. And the secret, and I give a free workbook that actually like talks all about the science and how to make the most of it. But the secret to the science is to really engage your senses. Like, what did you see? What did you feel? What did you smell? Like really figure out how you felt in that moment. And then also, why was it important to you? What did you feel? What was your child going through? What were you going through? Like really engage every piece of your memory, every piece of your emotion, your thoughts, your feelings, why this was important to you. The idea is really to focus on the connection experience and then writing about that. That's sort of the summary of how this works.
Oh, that's great. I love that. I love that. And of course, I'll put a link in the description as well so that they can have a look at it. It's called the Connected Parent journal. I love it.
Yeah, and there's a connected partner journal too.
I saw that too. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is such a great series. So there's, I'll put the links if people are interested. But yes, you could start right away and get into the habit of changing your mindset on the whole approach. I think it's wonderful. So many questions I think so. You mentioned the journal works and how to get started, but do you have any advice for parents to say, let's work on deepening those connections? Let's say they don't want, they're really not into the journaling part, on everyday interactions.
Yeah, for sure.
Something that can help them.
Yeah, for sure. Even if you just focus on the connection moments, I think it helps. I've had, like I said, a bunch of people who've said, I didn't have time to write in it this past week or month, but I looked at the prompts and those sort of helped me. So thinking about the connection, so I can even read a couple of them if that will be helpful for you, just to kind of get a sense of the type of questions. A lot of them are characteristics. So, you know, a time when you showed love, something of you, something about you that I'm in awe of. A time when you made me laugh, something I enjoy doing with you, you know, something that you seem really passionate about. So things that are about the characteristics, but also about your connection. Actually, I think the partner journal might give you a better sense of connection moments, how you have influenced the person I am today. You know, like think about writing that even in a birthday card to your partner, right? Things about you that have influenced the person I am today. Like how special would that be? Or an inside joke between us, right? Like these are fun things that you can do. I mean, of course, if you're journaling, but even if you're just sending a nice message to your partner, an email, a text message. Sometimes I write little notes to my kids, right? Like you can answer these types of prompts in those notes. A time when we laughed so much we had tears in our eyes, or a tradition we started together. In the parent one at the end, I also have some that are like, you know, something that I really hoped for when you were young, like, because I wanted a way to share, I'm not a perfect parent. And there are some times when I did something that might not have been the best thing. This is why I did it. I want you to understand, you know,
right,
so that they know me a little bit better. I know them a little bit better. So recognizing the connection, the moments, and then even just using them in your day-to-day interactions with your child, with your partner, that's a really good way to get started. And especially for me, this is really important to me is, excuse me, I feel like putting the cultural aspect into it is really important. So especially for me, I'm first generation Canadian. So I've sort of lost, you know, a little bit of that culture that my parents had, but I still have a little, my kids have maybe lost it more because they're second generation. So I really try to bring in our own experience. Like my husband and I have different backgrounds. So we've sort of created our own traditions that we made up, you know, so I write about those because, you know, I want my kids to know this is sort of why we created them. And this is why they're special to me. Or, you know, you have a whole ancestry that maybe I wasn't great at teaching you about, but I want you to know that it's there to kind of give you that strength. So I do bring in those elements too, in my journaling, but even in our conversations when I'm talking to the kids. So that's another way to sort of bring that connection moment.
Oh, I really like that because it is important. And you're right, it's something that does get lost, or you're not quite sure what you're bringing in when you.
Yes.
I'm also from a multicultural family. So it's just what values are we bringing in? Which tradition are realistic for us? And which ones are important to us? So it's, yes, it's great to have that in there as well. So they have a bit of a background on who they are and where they come from.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful. Again, I could talk so much about this. This is a whole other conversation, but before we kind of wrap up, is there something you'd like to share? I'd like to kind of change things up a little bit. Something that you'd like to share that nobody really knows about you. It could be on a hobbies, personal, professional, anything like that.
Yeah, I would say, most people don't know because I'm typically very, you know, my healthcare background, I'm typically very professional and very like, you know, the only time I've really started to show my personality since I started podcasting, because that's when I sort of, you know, tell about my personal life. A lot of my patients don't really know much about my personal life. And I would say the one thing about me that most people don't know is that I have a little bit of an adventurous spirit. So I've done like skydiving and I've done, you know, canyoning and ATVing and like these sort of I guess reckless. My poor parents would call them reckless. And if my kids do them, I'm certainly going to be worried. But I think that's where they get their rebellious sort of adventurous spirit from, because I like to do these adventure sports and adventure things. So that's probably something that most people don't know.
I love that. And it's always because I'm a quiet, shy. Well, I used to be quiet and shy as well. So it's always the quiet ones you have to keep an eye out.
I know. My daughter wants a motorcycle now, and I'm like, oh no. And my husband's like, she got it from her mother.
See, my dad had to stop buying those kind of things because we would wreck them, and we just thought it was a mechanical thing, but realized as we were growing older that is no, it was to save our lives because we were not learning our lessons. I love that. Oh, I love you even more now. That's great. And so, is there any kind of advice you wish you would have had sooner that would have made your life easier? Again, it could be for parenting or just in general.
Yeah, you know, I think saying it now is in retrospect easy, but in the moment, it's always really hard. And I think the advice I wish I would have had is just try to be more in the moment and worry less. It'll all work out. Because I think I did worry a lot, and I think I lost a little bit of my personality. I was so feeling so responsible for these people and their lives. And only now this journaling has helped a lot, because I'm starting to back off as their parent and more try to be, you know, more, I don't want to say their friends, because I'm still more responsible than friends, but I've changed my parenting style, and I continue to change as they get older. And I'm sure, you know, your kids are grown now. It's a very different experience, right? And so I wish I would have learned that a little bit faster and easier, but I don't know if you can unless you've been through it, you know?
Yeah, there's a learning curve. I find that I'm working a lot with that, saying that parenting styles are not rigid. You know, they need to change. Every child is different. You can have three children and not one of them is different. They will not respond the same. But as they grow older, and I'm learning now, and it, like you say, you need to live through it. They're adults now, but they still, you're still there. And I remember myself bringing my firstborn home, looking at my mom going, I need you. Like, I spent my entire teenage years saying, I don't need you anymore. But now it's just like, whatever I put you through, I'm so sorry.
I know.
You know, so it's,
and my mom says
that
the worry never ends, right? Like, you just have to manage it more quietly.
That's hard. That's hard.
Hard.
Yeah, because you're always a parent. You're always a mom. You're always a dad. I see it with my children's father as well, that he opens up more about it because he's been doing some work, the journaling type prompts that you have. And he's opened up more about it now. And it's interesting to see his point of view as well as the dad, you know, and he's always worrying, but it never comes across as, even I'm surprised. I'm like, really? But I like that, just to enjoy
letting
the
go,
moment.
I think it's really hard, you know, and that's why I'm trying to appreciate them in every stage, every age.
Yeah. No, oh, that's great. Is there anything coming up for you? Are you working on anything new? Anything
I
exciting?
am. I'm scared to talk about it. Yeah. I've been trying to write a book. So I told you that I was in healthcare and private practice, and I've taken a break from my clinical practice. And now I do a lot of work on decision-making, intentional decision-making. And a lot of it spurred from this journaling passion project. And then a few other projects I was doing about learning how to meditate and, you know, really just putting things into practice, into my own life. I always try to walk the talk. If I'm telling my patient to do something, I try to do it myself. And I realized there's this gap in healthcare where we're always sort of reacting, you know, like symptom, treatment. And I'm at a stage in my life where I have a bit more energy to kind of explore these topics. And I feel like it's so hard for people who are really busy with responsibility to make changes in their life that are meaningful, because we are busy with responsibility and not a lot of information is out there on how can we make these changes in an accessible way that also allows us to have flexibility, right? Like, I'm not going to get up at 5 in the morning and meditate because my kid was up at 3 in the morning with their teeth or something, you know, something happened, right?
So
I feel like it's not always accessible for people who are in that stage of life. So I've been looking into how the brain works and how we can make these changes in real life that make real change and allow space for us as people, as women, as our own people, without letting go of all those responsibilities. So I'm working on this book about intentional decision making.
I love that. Oh, this is so exciting. I'm always like, I told you before when I interview people, I'm like, oh, please tell me more. You know, I can't wait to see that one. And then we'll keep you posted for the listeners and the audience as well. We'll keep you posted as that comes along. It's a big project. It's a lot of work,
It is.
but it's going to be
But so
so worth
fun.
it. It is fun because you're doing it because it's something you're interested in, and I love it. I love it. I'm going to leave. I got one last question for you, and that's, I love this question. I've kind of explained it for the listeners that haven't heard yet. I was interviewed by a 9-year-old girl a few years back. She was interviewing adults for a school project, and she was asking this question that I'm about to ask, but none of the adults were answering, so she would get frustrated. And her mother just told her, maybe you should stop asking. And she got even more frustrated. She's like, no, somebody's gonna get it. So when she interviewed me, just because of who I am, I did answer. And she was so excited. She turned around. It was a Zoom meeting like this. And she turned around, she goes, you see, Mom, I told you somebody would get it. So I told her, I promised her I would always ask the people I interview that same question. And this is the question is, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Oh my gosh, I think the answer is probably the same as when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a dancer. And more specifically, I'm going to date myself, but do you remember that show in Living Color where they had those fly girls in the background
Yes.
and J-Lo
Oh
was one of them?
my.
I wanted to be a fly girl. And so even now, I'm like, in my head, I'm a great dancer, but in reality, I just dance around the
But that's okay. That's
So I maybe one day when, my kids are grown and I have time to myself, I might take some dance lessons or something like that. So that would be my answer.
I just picture you in your kitchen doing a fly girl routine.
And the rice flying all over the
And of course, you have to have the outfits, right? The big neon colors. Oh, I love it. I'm discovering sides of you that I never thought I would. I love this.
You're easy to talk to. I'm letting it all out here.
Yeah, I gotta get people to open up. I love it. For anybody out there who has the secret dream of becoming a fly girl, join us. We'll start a band. We'll start our own group. I love it. And this is why I love asking this question, because you never get the same answer, but they're all amazing answers, right? It depends. And it'll change 10 years from now. It'll be something completely different. So I just love how we're so set as adults to say, well, I'm grown now. I'm set. I just have to retire. But we have to keep evolving. We have to keep growing. And that question allows us to do that. So that's why I told that little girl, she's grown now, but I was like, I am definitely going to be asking this for fun. This
Such
was
a good
definitely worth
question.
it. Now, again, how can people reach you, follow you, get more information on your I will put all the links in the description, but more information on your journal and the work that you do.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Most of the stuff is on my website, livingxo.com. I also have a free gift if anyone wants to start sort of thinking about this in a different way. It's a free gratitude challenge. So it's about gratitude. It's a little bit more open in terms of like it could be about your partner, it could be about your child, it could be about life in general. So it's a little bit more open. So there's a gratitude challenge on my website, livingxo.com/gratitude. I've got my podcast, it's on the website. So the website is really the best way to connect with me. And it's again, livingxo.com.
Perfect. I'll put the link in there, and don't forget to check out as well the Connected Parent Journal on Amazon to get a copy. I think it's
Yeah, and you
amazing
can
already.
get the link on the website too. Again,
Yes.
it's livingxo.com and then it's slash shop.
Slash shop. Yes,
Yeah.
there's quite a few. I was when I was looking at the website, I'm like, oh, I like every single thing that's on there. I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Irishma. It was such a great, again, I could talk to you all week if I could, and then I'd love to have you back on when your book is coming up, if you have other
Likewise.
things
Thank
coming
you. I
up.
hope it was helpful for people who are listening.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, and for everybody watching or listening, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening and watching from. Don't forget to check out Rishma's website as well to get all that wonderful information. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.